I hope you all had a wonderfully blessed Christmas with family, close friends, or with your spouse, maybe over a crackling fire and a warm cup of coffee or hot chocolate. With two of our kids afar and our daughter making the morning time special for her young family, Becky and I welcomed Christmas with our own warm and comfortable time, with delicious holiday treats and opening presents delivered from near and far. This is certainly a special time of the year that we also take the time to truly celebrate, remember and cherish the gift sent from heaven above, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's gift to us in human form, for all of mankind to see, to know, to worship, and to love, with promised assurance of his victory over death on the cross, which is also our victory over death, and the promise of eternal life for all who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In this particular time between Christmas and the anticipated arrival of the new year presents us with another gift of looking back over the past year with moments to treasure and events that may have been trying for us. So, if you haven't done so already, or you don't make a habit of it, I want you to just take a few, not minutes, but seconds or a time, and a moment to remember or even relive two or three happy and bright moments that you were blessed to experience, or those unforeseen challenges that happened in 2024. It's amazing how quickly the year went by, didn't it? In preparing for this Sunday morning's message, the Lord put on my heart three ideas that he would delight in my sharing with you today. They also happen to be three gifts that he has kept in front of me throughout this year. And knowing the timing of Cliff's offer for me to speak to you this morning in his absence, how could I say anything but yes? So I look forward to this time together. My first gift is fear. Now I know that the word fear is not the first thing someone would wish for or be thrilled to receive. But put in the proper context with some additional words such as fear of the Lord, and we can begin to put together a more clear and accurate understanding, particularly when seen in scriptural context. Proverbs 1:11-10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Wow. That says a lot in one sentence. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We must understand that the fear of the Lord is the starting point for us if we are to truly and fully understand our relationship with God the Father. Our mindset and view of God can only be one of the highest respect, the truest honor, and the deepest reverence if we are to be in right accord with our Heavenly Father. Without this level of mindful fear, man is not able to be in true relationship with God, one that he desires with our eyes and heart lifted up to him and with his arms embracing us. To help us better understand this truth or key point and to communicate it to you this morning, I can't help but let the teacher coach come out in me to help with the first key point this morning. Introducing the fear of the Lord is like developing, believe it or not, to me, the best game plan for the big game. Before an athlete steps on the field to compete, let's say in a flag football game, 8v versus 8, and it's nice to know that boys and girls in high school are playing this sport. It's actually CIF sport. He or she must know every facet of the game on both sides of the ball for the players and teams to execute at their highest level. They must know why, when, and how to carry out each part of the plan to accomplish the end goal of winning. They believe they are ready to perform at their very best. However, if the game plan is based on unreliable points of information or faulty assumptions, then the team stands a good chance of missing the mark. If that occurs and their team of 15 total players has prepared for an 8-man flag football game, and when game time arrives, they see coming out of the locker room, an opposing team of 45 players in full contact gear ready for an 11-man tackle football game. Yikes. They definitely missed their intended mark. They got part of it right. It was a football game, but not enough to really compete as they planned in practice. Oh, and by the way, I was a coach. That scenario never happened to any of my teams. Just want you to know. We too have or can miss the mark. We may feel that we must do a number of faith-bearing things to earn God's gracious love. Let me say that again. To earn God's gracious love, such as reading our Bible daily, reading on a regular basis or praying on a regular basis, tithing generously, or doing helpful deeds for others. These are all good and great right actions, but God's love is free because Jesus paid our debt on the cross. For us as believers, our Heavenly Father calls us into a relationship only wanting a heart of true and fearful reverence for Him. And so, when we hit the mark, we are now able to know and feel and build an everlasting relationship with our Heavenly Father, one that is pleasing to Him and to us. And it is a place where we can feel and experience His promised joy and assurance in Him. As we continue, Psalm 112 continues this idea or knowing the power of the fear of the Lord. Psalm 112:1. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. In Proverbs 19:23, fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. So, with this gift of fear, we are able to experience a real joy in His words and commands, using them to guide us in His intended way, not to be burdensome or confusing, but to continue to draw us closer to Him. And as we are able to delight in His commands, we continue to know and feel real contentment, guarded from trouble and worry. And continuing on with this and going deeper with this idea of fear of the Lord, Psalm 25:14. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. Another treasure to experience with this gift of fear is that the Father continues to nurture us with a newfound freedom in Him. And only Him. The burdens of self-doubt, worries, and pain are no longer able to paralyze our thoughts and our good intentions. We can proceed forward with a calming assurance, doing and experience what is right, just, and fair. Proverbs 1:3. Psalm 34:9 points us still deeper into his fear. Fear the Lord, you holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. So that, and lastly for me, I can be surrounded, embraced with an assurance and boldness because of what I know and believe in. I am able to do all things through him who gives me his strength and confidence. We as believers in Jesus Christ lack nothing in our growing relationship with God the Father. Amen? So knowing and believing that our fear of the Lord positions our heart and soul with a deep, abiding reverence for God, the Father, that our abiding relationship can truly take root in him and flourish. I'll move on to the second gift that the Father set before me to unwrap and to share with you. This might be an obvious one. My second gift is love. I don't think we need reminding of the best gift we could ever receive or will ever receive from our Heavenly Father. His gift of love to each of us here in the sanctuary. Before Christ came to this world in human form, I believe the word love was just another word used to communicate with others like any other word that day and age. However, when Jesus was born to walk this earth over 2,000 years ago, God brought forth his heavenly power of love that would change the trajectory of mankind's life, delivering us away from the eternal death and darkness into everlasting life and the light of truth. Wow. Yes, I could not help but bring John 3:16 before us again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yes, it is when love took on its most powerful and meaning for all of mankind to hear, to see, to feel, and to truly comprehend. Only God knew that earthly man would only then begin to have the chance to know and experience the true essence of love. When he allowed us to see him in human form, in Jesus, to hear his words and witness his mighty deeds and wonders. But we know, and God knew, that this love needed to be taken to the cross to truly complete the real purpose for this one and only gift to all of mankind. Like a good teacher, Jesus knew that more of his divine nature and holy wisdom needed to be spoken to those who would listen. He knew that the word love needed to be retaught and internalized before it could produce meaningful, life-changing results. Mark 12:28-31. Another spotlight on love. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given a good answer, he asked him, "Of all commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus in this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Jesus continues to speak to the basic purpose of God's will for all mankind, and that is to live in his love with an open and sacrificial heart, with a deep and sensitive soul, with a mind that is wise and discerning, and with the physical strength that endures far beyond its human boundaries. Just as our fear of the Lord prepares us to be in right relationship with God the Father, our love for him can be and must be complete in every way. This command can be overwhelming, can't it? And yet simple, if we allow God to be our source and example of real love. If we as believers in Jesus Christ can slowly shed our natural view of self and first love our Holy Father as he calls us to, then our desire and ability to love others as God calls us to will naturally flow to one another and to those who are yet to meet. And again, here's another teachable moment that might help us to know and feel this natural response to his love. Now, for those who have not experienced this particular scenario growing up, my apologies. Learning how to ride a bike is quite a two-wheel bike. It's quite an unforgettable event. Everyone who has, and I'm pretty sure you can still remember that painstaking and challenging experience. Maybe you started with training wheels. I still remember those training wheels. I haven't seen training wheels on any bikes lately, but. Or maybe just trying with the help and support of your parents or friends. Remember that? But when you finally took flight, that exhilarating feeling of pedaling along on your first solo ride is a feeling that you can still remember right now. Kind of see some heads nodding. That once unexplainable feeling of your first ride is how God captures us in his love. We know and feel it deep down in our souls. That's pretty amazing. Yes, his love and only his love will allow us to love others in real life-changing ways. Because we are in a true loving relationship with our Heavenly Father, you and I can have a life of selfless joy and vibrant purpose. The relationships we have with our spouse, with family, with close friends, with others we have yet to know, will continue to take on new and deeper meaning. They just seem to naturally flow together. Another dynamic of God's love is brought out in 1 John 4:7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Knowing the deep truth and treasure of God's love for each of us and all of mankind should compel us to love one another. Man by himself is not capable of loving others. It is only because God first loved us that we are able now to truly love one another. And as he promised, If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. What an unbelievable gift. My third gift that I received, that God has laid on my heart through 2024, my third gift is wisdom. When the word wisdom is mentioned, we often think of someone's deep insight into a complex idea that only a few can comprehend, or that wisdom is only reserved for those who understand the big picture of life. But wisdom can also be a real, tangible tool to know how seemingly complex theories and ideas can actually be simple and easy to understand and applied to our everyday lives. Solomon, one of the wisest of any generation, shares his God-given wisdom with those who yearn to live a purposeful life, one that is filled and guided by our Heavenly Father. He knows that we are now in position to live and love according to his divine purposes for me and you. More of him and less of me. John 3:30. So, wisdom as my last gift to talk to you about, I had to go to Proverbs, one of my favorite books. Proverbs 3:1-8. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Let me repeat that. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. These shared words of wisdom are quite straightforward and clearly directed to every believer as they walk forward in their faith each day. If we continue to hold a deep, abiding reverence for God and freely love our neighbor as we love our Heavenly Father, then we are prepared to receive this third gift of wisdom, to put ourselves in his hands and let his wise, personal instructions lead us to a closer walk with him. This powerful scripture is personal and directed to only the reader, if you notice. It is a timely note to each of us, meant to speak to us at where we are in our relationship with our Holy Father, where we are strong and where we are lacking at this very moment. He begins with this basic tenet: you and I are to know his teachings and to keep his commands. And if followed or carried out, then his promised gift of prolonging our life many years and doing it with peace and prosperity is made known. He continues with three more, I would say, if-then statements or promises, but never states the word if. And I'm pretty sure he is certain that we will do as directed. Not if, but we will. We will. In verses 3 through 4, the author follows with the importance of keeping our love and faithfulness close to our hearts. And when done, then God's favor and favor of man will always be before you and me. Then in my favorite verses 5 and 6 in the Bible, Proverbs 3:5-6 in the Bible. Let me read those again. I need to read those again. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. His words remind me and you, he directs us to trust in him only, and to lean on him and not on others, not on ourselves or others. Then he will continue to keep our paths straight and upright. That means somewhere along the line, our path got crooked. But again, if we continue to lean on him and not on ourselves, then he will keep our path straight and upright. And then in verses 7 and 8, he reminds me and you again, do not mislead yourself believing how wise you are or could be, but fear the Lord and shun the evil that only serves the darkness that God has lifted us above. And if we abide, then the treasure of a sound body and mind will be ours each passing day. Another look at wisdom that he wants us to understand comes from Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Wow. Another powerful but simple and direct statement. And reading the final reference scripture for today's message from Proverbs 2, it is apparent that the three gifts I received from the Lord this year tell a powerful lesson for us to hear and to apply in our walk of faith in Jesus Christ. First, knowing and applying the guiding truth of our fear of the Lord puts us in the only position to have the relationship with God that only God himself deems worthy and complete. And in that cherished relationship, we are fully prepared to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and with all our strength, which by his holy design allows us to truly love our neighbor in a way that is pleasing to each of us and to our Lord. And with this deep abiding wisdom, with his deep abiding wisdom ever present in our hearts and minds, we can each walk forward with an assurance only our loving Father can provide. And now, if you will allow me one more teachable moment, particularly for you visual or kinesthetic learners. The number three seems to have a significant place in the birth and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. There were three wise men, three gifts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Maybe you can think of others. He rose on the third day. So to stay with that theme of three, but certainly not to be included with this aforementioned, but only help us to help me give you another way to remember or apply today's message on fear, love, and wisdom. Or maybe the new title, Go With His Flow. So, again, the teacher's coming down in me. And juggling has been something that I've found enjoyable. In fact, actually, now that I think about it, I learned how to juggle about 50 years ago. Yeah, I was in college. And my resident assistant actually was pretty good at it, and he taught me how to juggle. So actually now about 19 years ago, the gift that the young person, that friend passed on to me, I took to middle school and probably taught about maybe 300 middle schoolers during my time as a principal there at Gage Middle School. And just another side note, please excuse my rambling on, but it was really a good feeling. These are juggling balls. And this is the container that a seventh grade student my first year at Gage Middle School gifted me with for Christmas. And it still has the original note on it. I won't say his name, but these four words really says, "Mr. Hiroto, thanks for the encouragement." One of the first ones that learned how to juggle. He was thrilled. But today, I want to just use this as a teachable moment. And you notice there's three, because that's the theme of today's, right? Fear, love, wisdom. And so the first ball is fear. And it's important. You have to start somewhere. And as Scripture says, if our relationship with God is not in the right position, whatever we do after, it's not going to really hit the mark or go with the flow. So you have one. You have fear. Then, so now we have, this one's wisdom. Fear and wisdom. And if you have two, then you can maybe kind of do something with them, right? You can kind of do this or whatever. But I shouldn't say but, to at least the way to juggle, at least begin to juggle, you need to, you don't do this, well, although that's a natural thing to do, but you really want to do this, up. You don't really want to catch the balls at the same time. That's just, and it's really nice to have juggling balls. When I first learned, I think I had hacky sacks or something, you know, the little tiny things, but this gives you a little bit more, and they're kind of soft and pliable and everything else. So here we have fear and we have wisdom, right? And so this is pretty fun. You know, I mean, you could do this, but that's... and actually, that's the first step when I teach someone to juggle, is they start with two balls, not three, and then goes up, up, up. If they can do this, and folks, if you can do this, you can juggle. You really can. You really can. Okay? But to make it complete, this ball makes it complete. And that third, what was that third thing we were talking about? Love, the big love. Okay? The big love will complete the cycle. And so you can kind of do this, and then you do that. And, you know, I remember the students, this young man right here, he may as well have been riding his bicycle for the first time, or when he could get this, he was pretty excited. But when he did this, It was really something. He got it. He understood. And I hope that young man has a chance to teach others, to encourage others. And I hope, and maybe, I'll be glad to teach anyone who would like to juggle. I really would. You know, all you need is three thumb. You can get three wads of paper, whatever. You don't have to have these. These won't go anywhere, though. These stay with me, and these will, when I pass away, these will be an heirloom to the others. The others, Kellen or Brett or Jordan, you know, whatever. But again, I hope today that we treasure the gift of God's wisdom. We treasure the wisdom. And most of all, that we know that we can truly love the way God wants us to love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the perfect plan from the very beginning of knowing exactly what you were doing, that all of these years you have directed and guided so many. And we in this room thank you, Father, for being in relationship with us, allowing us to be in relationship with you, that you impart your wisdom to us in a way that only you can impart to us. That, Father, we need to remember to put ourselves back and you forward. And when you sent your precious gift of love to us in the body of Jesus Christ, you have allowed us to experience your love in only the way that you would want us to love. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for loving us, keeping our path straight. Father, we can't thank you enough. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Why don't you stand with us and we'll have a closing worship song.